you understand anything about football, the game starts in the trenches.
We will get our house in order first.
Violence of any kind, especially man on woman, is just not right.
Pretty much in the league, families, wives, children, we were seen but not heard.
So we have another NFL players in hot water.
The St. Louis Rams select Michael Sam.
We can use the NFL to help create change.
The National Football League delivered up a real contest last night in the battle for first place in the NFC West, but in the end, it was no contest for the defending Super Bowl champs, the Seattle Seahawks. They defeated the Arizona Cardinals 35-6. The NFL will no doubt be relieved to see the playoff season begin in a week. The Ray Rice domestic violence controversy this year, the Adrian Peterson child abuse controversy, even the question of an openly gay player on the field were all deeper social issues that challenged the NFL's position of leadership in American culture and entertainment in 2014. Former Minnesota Vikings punter Chris Cluey says he learned the hard way that political and social advocacy can be bad in a multi-billion dollar league that might prefer to keep out of the spotlight. After Cluey wrote an open letter declaring his support for same-sex marriage, he claims that he was released from the team for his views. Cluey says that mistake-filled 2014 showed that the NFL hates change and that while league management may be obsessed with the NFL's image, they sometimes seem not to have a clue of how to defend it.
I think there are a lot of people who use the idea of the NFL to justify internalized misogyny or homophobia because they look at it and they say, you know, hey, what's stopping me from doing this? Because this is this, you know, boys club atmosphere that I don't really have to be accountable for my behavior. I really do think that this is something that as a society we've decided that we're no longer okay with outright discrimination and intolerance, and we're expecting our businesses to follow along with that decision, and we're seeing a lot of birthing pains with that right now.
There's one division in the NFL that may finish the season with no team having a winning record, and one of those teams will go to the playoffs. Given that, do you buy Michael Sam's argument that he's not in the NFL because he's gay, not because of anything to do with talent, because there doesn't appear to be an abundance of talent on a lot of these teams this year?
Yeah, and I do agree with him, and I think it's unfortunate because I've had experience with the type of homophobia. Even though I myself am not gay, I merely spoke out on same-sex rights, but I've had experience with that in the NFL, and it is something that exists because it's something that exists in society itself. And the NFL isn't just this isolated bubble where you have football players and coaches and front office people and that's all they are. We're human beings just like everyone else. We grow up and we're raised in the culture and society of the United States, whatever that happens to be. And for a lot of older executives and managers and coaches in the NFL, they tend to be white, they tend to be wealthy, and they were raised with a very specific mindset. And to their credits, some of them have gotten past it. Some of them understand now that, hey, this is an issue that needs to be dealt with. Just like we don't discriminate against skin color, we shouldn't discriminate against sexuality. But there's still plenty left that are in positions of power that make personnel decisions. And so I think that Michael Sam did not get a fair chance in the NFL. And I think it's very obvious based on his preseason performance and the performance of the teams out there that, you know, he deserves to be on a practice squad, if not out on the field.
In terms of the issues that plagued the NFL this year, domestic violence and disciplining of a child, those kinds of things, and homophobia that you talked about. You know, you've got Michael Vick who, you know, went to prison and he's back and all is forgotten. I mean, the cynical PR view of how the NFL deals with this stuff is, okay, great, we'll crack down on them, we'll kick them out, and then we get to, like, ride them on their comeback trail. And so They'll all be back and everything will be forgiven and we'll forget about all this, and Rice and Adrian Peterson will all be playing, and who knows how long the scars will stay on the back of his, you know, his son.
And that's something that I think the NFL really needs to be held accountable for, is the fact that the NFL loves a redemption story, but the NFL doesn't always take the steps to ensure that that redemption story is legit. And So there's a very big difference between letting a guy off with a slap on the wrist and then saying, oh, look, he's changed his life, he's turned everything around, and actually making sure that that guy has access to resources and support groups that will help rehabilitate him. And I will say, to Michael Vick's credit, he seems to have turned his life completely around. And that, I think, is a very good example of what the NFL can be at its best. Is here's a guy who made a mistake, he knows what he did was wrong, and he's working to change it and be a positive role model for millions of people out there. And that's, you know, that's a powerful message, because people regard athletes as role models. Now, another very powerful message is if you have a guy who abuses his wife or abuses his children, and you essentially say, well, we're going to give you a 2-game suspension, and then you can come back and play football, and we'll treat it like a redemption story. Well, that sends the message that is the complete opposite effect, because it's a very negative message. It tells women out there, no, you're not safe from your husbands, because your husband's role model is abusing his wife and got away with it.
Well, on the 2-game suspension reference that you made, that brings up Goodell, Roger Goodell, the head of the NFL, the commissioner of the NFL. Do you think somewhere in the NFL bylaws there's a job description for the commissioner of the NFL, which basically says, just make us money, we don't care about anything else? How do you think he did? What's your assessment?
I think up until this point, he has been doing an excellent job from the owner's perspective in making them money and growing the sport, and taking all sorts of blows that were meant for the owners, but Goodell steps in front of and says, I'm the commissioner, take a swing at me. I think that with the concussion issue, I think that with the Ray Rice issue, and now the fact that it's become pretty obvious that Goodell lied. Goodell said that Ray Rice told him a different story, and a judge hearing the appeal said, no, he told you everything he knew and you just didn't make a good decision. I think that kind of stuff the owners are not very happy about, because it shakes public confidence in the NFL. And the NFL really could have avoided a lot of this if they had just said, look, we made a mistake. We miscalculated how important domestic violence is to society. We're going to change that. I think Goodell did lie about this situation. I think he's shown that he's unfit to be the commissioner of the league, especially as it pertains to the judgment of players who have gotten into trouble. And I really think that this is something that the NFL and the NFLPA need to sit down and hammer out a code of conduct in the CBA that makes it explicitly clear, here's what happens if you do something wrong, and here's the procedure by which it happens by.
So, on a lighter note, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl, AFC or the NFC? Flip a coin, AFC or NFC?
Yeah, I have no idea. I think probably the best odds for an NFC team is the Packers. They look like they're firing on all cylinders. And then I mean, you can't really count out the Patriots, because Brady still is obviously Tom Brady. And I think the Colts may have a chance. So maybe Packers, Patriots, or Packers, Colts.
Chris Cluey, former punter for the Minnesota Vikings, being a pundit on NFL predictions, and also talking about the past year in the NFL. Finally, with 3 days to go before Christmas, we've been talking about the holiday music we love and can't stand. Tomorrow, why does a pop holiday song like this one stick? That's tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.